The Knack MacFeagle jogged through the afternoon woods. Local wildlife had found out about feagles, so the fluffy woodland creatures had all dived for their burrows or climbed high into the trees. But after a while, Big Jan called a halt and said, "There's something tracking us." "Don't be daft," said Rob Anybody. "There's nothing left in these woods that's mad enough to hunt feagles." "I know what I'm sensing," said Big Jan stubbornly. "I can feel it in my water. There's something creeping up on us right now."
"Well, I'm not one to argue with a man's water," said Rob wearily. "Okay, lads, spread out in a big circle."
Swords drawn, the feagles spread out, but after a few minutes there was a general muttering. There was nothing to see, nothing to hear. A few birds sang at a safe distance. Peace and quiet, unusual in the vicinity of feagles, was everywhere.
"Sorry, Big Jan, but I'm thinking your water is no on the button this time," said Rob Anybody.
It was at this point that Horace the Cheese dropped from a branch onto his head. A lot of water flowed under the big bridge at Lancre, but from up here you could barely see it because of the spray coming from the waterfalls a little farther on, spray that hovered in the freezing air. There was white water all through the deep gorge, and then the river leapt the waterfall like a salmon and hit the plains below like a thunderstorm. From the base of the falls you could follow the river all the way past the chalk, but it moved in wide, lazy curves, and it was quicker to fly in a straight line. Tiffany had flown up it just once, when Miss Level had first brought her into the mountains. Since then she'd always taken the long way down, cruising just above the zigzagging coach road. Flying out over the edge of that furious torrent into a sudden drop full of cold, damp air, and then pointing the stick almost straight down, was pretty high on her list of things she never intended to do, ever. Now Granny Weatherwax stood on the bridge, the silver horse in her hand. "It's the only way," she said. "It'll end up at the bottom of the deep sea. Let the Wintersmith look for you there." Tiffany nodded. She wasn't crying, which is not the same as, well, not crying. People walked around not crying all the time and didn't think about it at all. But now she did. She thought, "I'm not crying." It made sense. Of course it made sense. It was all boffo. Every stick is a wand, every puddle is a crystal ball. No thing had any power that you didn't put there. Shambles and skulls and wands were like shovels and knives and spectacles. They were like levers. With a lever, you could lift a big rock, but the lever didn't do any work. "It has to be your choice," said Granny. "I can't make it for you, but it's a small thing, and while you have it, it will be dangerous."
"You know, I don't think he wanted to hurt me. He was just upset," said Tiffany.
"Really? Do you want to meet it upset again?" Tiffany thought about that strange face. There had been the shape of a human there, more or less, but it was as if the Wintersmith had heard of the idea of being human, but hadn't found out how to do it yet.
"Do you think he'll harm other people?" she asked.
"He is the Winter Child. It's not all pretty snowflakes, is it?" Tiffany held out her hand.
"Give it back to me, please."
Granny handed it over with a shrug. It lay in Tiffany's hand on the strange white scar. It was the first thing she had ever been given that wasn't useful, that wasn't supposed to do something. "I don't need this," she thought. "My power comes from the chalk." But is that what life's going to be like? Nothing that you don't need?
"We should tie it to something that's light," she said in a matter-of-fact voice. "Otherwise it'll get caught on the bottom."
After some rooting around in the grass near the bridge, she found a stick and wrapped the silver chain around it. It was noon. Tiffany had invented the word noonlight because she liked the sound of it. Anyone could be a witch at midnight, she'd thought, but you'd have to be really good to be a witch by noonlight. Good at being a witch, anyway, she thought now as she walked back onto the bridge. Not good at being a happy person. She threw the necklace off the bridge. She didn't make a big thing of it. It would have been nice to say that the silver horse glittered in the light, seemed to hang in the air for a moment before falling the long fall. Perhaps it did, but Tiffany didn't look.
"Good," said Granny Weatherwax.
"Is it all over now?" said Tiffany.
"No. You dance into a story girl, one that tells itself to the world every year. It's the story about ice and fire, summer and winter. You've made it wrong. You've got to stay to the end and make sure it turns out right. The horse is just buying you time, that's all.
How much time?
I don't know. This hasn't happened before. Time to think at least. How are your feet?
The Wintersmith was moving through the world without, in any human sense, moving at all. Wherever Winter was, he was too. He was trying to think. He'd never had to do this before, and it hurt. Up until now, humans had just been parts of the world that moved around in strange ways and lit fires. Now, he was spinning himself a mind, and everything was new. A human. Made of human stuff. That was what she had said. Human stuff. He had to make himself of human stuff for the beloved. In the chill of morgues and the wreckage of ships, the Wintersmith rode the air searching for human stuff. And what was it? Dirt and water, mostly. Leave a human long enough, and even the water would go, and there would be nothing but a few handfuls of dust that blew away in the wind. So, since water did not think, all the work was being done by the dust. The Wintersmith was logical because ice was logical. Water was logical. Wind was logical. There were rules. So what a human was all about was the right kind of dust. And, while he was searching for it, he could show her how strong he was. That evening, Tiffany sat on the edge of her new bed, the clouds of sleep rising in her brain like thunderheads, and yawned and stared at her feet. They were pink and had 5 toes each. They were pretty good feet, considering. Normally, when people met you, they'd say things like, "How are you?" Nanny Og had just said, "Come on in, how's your feet?" Suddenly, everyone was interested in her feet. Of course, feet were important, but what did people expect to happen to them? She swung them back and forth on the ends of her legs. They didn't do anything strange, so she got into bed. She hadn't slept properly for 2 nights. She hadn't really understood that until she'd reached Tia Nanny Og, when her brain had started to spin of its own accord. She'd talked to Mrs. Og, but it was hard to remember what about. Voices had banged in her ears. Now, at last, she had nothing to do but sleep. It was a good bed, the best she'd ever slept in. It was the best room she'd ever been in, although she'd been too tired to explore it. Witches didn't go in much for comfort, especially in spare bedrooms, but Tiffany had grown up on an ancient bed where the springs went glowing every time she moved, and with care, she could get them to play a tune. This mattress was thick and yielding. She sank into it as if it were very soft, very warm, very slow, quicksand. The trouble is, you can shut your eyes, but you can't shut your mind. As she lay in the dark, it squiggled pictures inside her head of clocks that went clonk-clank, of snowflakes shaped like her, of Miss Treason striding through the nighttime forest, seeking bad people with her yellow thumbnail ready. Myth Treason. She drifted through these scrambled memories into dull whiteness. But it got brighter and took on detail, little areas of black and grey. They began to move gently from side to side.